Well, good morning again, and it's good to be with you all, and it's good to be here this morning. It's great to have people back together again. I have been preaching to a little howl, you know, from 2001, a little computer camera screen, and that's the camera lens, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, and it's a different experience, and I'm sure you've noticed there have been a few times I've really missed having a live audience that can give me the word I'm looking for, you know? Like when I was trying to think up incense, could not come up with that word a few weeks ago, and I needed somebody here to say, the word you're looking for is incense, you know? But so if I get hung up, it's okay for the congregation gathered here to speak up a little bit and let me know. I guess that's a pretty good segue. It was an unplanned segue, but I am no expert in all things regarding to preaching. And we seem to be living in the age of experts, don't we? And especially, I think, and it's not just since this virus situation where we listen to the medical experts or the economical experts, but for the last few years, it seemed like my social media feed was full of experts. And I'd get videos on, you're not doing this right, you're not using that right. Did you know that a Tic Tac container has a special little thing that you're supposed to be able to open up the lid and one Tic Tac comes out on it? Oh, I've been doing it wrong my whole life. Thank you, expert Tic Tac opener, for letting me know what I've been missing out on, because I was foolishly just popping it open and dumping about four in. And personally, I think I like my way better. But we have so many experts waiting to tell us how we should do things, and especially now, our whole lives, it seems, are driven by experts. Experts that want to tell us how to live, experts that tell us how to reopen our church. I am inundated every day with multiple emails from different organizations. What you need to do to reopen your church, what you need to do to be prepared. And it gets a little overwhelming. And maybe you've been overwhelmed by it a little bit as well. And so what I wanted to do with all these experts out there is I wanted to go to the one that I think is really worth listening to. So we're going to start a new series. We're going to predominantly be in Luke chapter 12 in that series. But don't turn there, because we're not going to go there until next week. Because today is going to be an introductory sermon, if you will. And the first thing I wanted to really look at is, what is an expert? What do we mean by this word expert? An expert is defined as one with the special skill or knowledge representing mastery of a particular subject. Which means an expert is somebody who knows more and more and more about less and less and less until they know absolutely everything about nothing at all. Right? Remember that one? An expert is somebody with special skill or knowledge representing mastery of a particular subject. And so what that means is that as an expert in something, they don't have expert knowledge about everything. And so what are we seeing today? We're seeing people who have studied mass outbreaks of viruses, and that is their entire focus. But we know that our whole lives aren't just one aspect. It's not just, how is my health? There's also a question of, how am I making money? And throughout human history, we've had to do things where we risk our health to make a living. You know, farmers risk their health working hard in the fields to make a living. Miners risk their lives to go down in the mines every day to make a living. Computer programmers risk their bodies and carpal tunnel syndrome to make a living. Everything we do has a risk in it. And our whole lives have something to do with that statement. But when we talk about experts, and when we think about experts, and I think about especially the teachings of Jesus, that I believe and we would believe that we should follow his teachings, the question we would come up with, which is the same question we come up with from the different experts that we're faced with. You know, this doctor says we should do one thing, that doctor says we should do something else. How do we choose which one to listen to? Why do we believe them? Why do we believe this one doctor over that doctor, or this economist over that economist? Why do we believe them? And so the same question can be asked, why should we listen to Jesus? Why should we believe what he says? Why should we listen to him in these aspects of our lives? He didn't know about certain things. He didn't talk about certain things in scriptures. He never talked about how to properly, you know, drive on the highway. Why should I listen to him about whether or not it's right to speed or to go slower? Well, if we go to if we go to John chapter 1, I want to look at the reasons why I think we should listen to Jesus. In John chapter 1, it begins in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So he is there from the very beginning with God. Everything that exists has its creation in him, and we are told that apart from him, nothing came into being that hasn't come into being from outside of him. And we're told in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So we are told that in Jesus, he has been around since the beginning. So why should we listen to him? For one thing, he's been around the entire time. Remember, an expert is somebody who has knowledge about a particular area, mastery of a particular area. They've studied. Most of the people that are experts become experts. I think that to become skilled at something, you have to do it for like 10,000 hours and to get to where you have mastery over it. So that can be chopping onions with a knife. That can be juggling balls like I do. That can be playing the guitar. That can be anything we do to obtain mastery. It takes a long time. But here we have Jesus who has been here since the beginning. From the very beginning, he was with God and he was God. But not only has he been here from the beginning, he doesn't just know about a particular subject like a normal expert does. He knows about all things because everything that exists was created by Jesus, through Jesus, and for him. So he has knowledge not just about one particular thing. He doesn't just have knowledge about salvation. He has knowledge about how I deal in my relationships with other people. He has knowledge about how I relate to God. He has knowledge about how to avoid sin and how to live a right life. He has knowledge about every aspect of our lives, and he is the ultimate guide for our lives. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, that he can guide us through our lives, that he can give us life, that the light shines in the darkness. When we don't know what we're doing, when we don't know what's going on, I think that's a very dark way of living. And yet Jesus gives us light for that. And of course, the problem, though, is that the darkness did not comprehend it. We don't fully understand Jesus. He understands us fully, but we don't fully understand him because he is greater and superior to us. So as we look at why should we listen to Jesus, I would say that the reason is because he's not really an expert the way we use that word. He's more than an expert. Jesus is beyond being an expert on life. He's the creator. And because he is the creator of all things, personally, I think, wouldn't you want to hear what the creator says? Not just creator God, but if you buy something from a store like we had to get a new camera to be able to get this distance from the sound booth. Well, that camera came with instructions. And beyond that, you can now go online and download the entire book on it. Now, what's just smarter for me to do? To take that camera and say, I'm just going to set it up and start pushing buttons? Or to open up the manuals and say, what did the creator of this camera say? How do I work it? How do I operate it? What's the best way to care for it? The better thing to do is to go to the creator of that camera. And we do that with cars. We do that with stereos. We do that with so many things in our lives. We have to find out. You know, and sometimes we'll sit there and we'll say, well, this isn't working right. It's not working the way I thought it did. And I've had that problem over the weeks where my picture was getting out. It wasn't the right color and things like that. And every time that happened, even though I felt like I was comfortable with the camera, well, now I had to say, okay, let me get that book back out. Let me read again. Maybe I've missed something. Maybe I've forgotten something. Maybe I've messed something up in my own way of doing it. And so that's why I think we should listen to Jesus above all other people, is because he's the creator. He's the one that has given us wisdom and knowledge to know him. And we mess up along the way. We can get confused. We can make mistakes of our own, and things can get out of whack. And then we need to go back to him and for him to guide us and give us instruction and to teach us the right ways and to show us the right way with his light. And so that's why we go to him. Now, I want to look at, in considering why we should listen to Jesus, he makes an argument for us to hear him and to listen to him in Luke chapter 6. And this is kind of this is Luke's take on the Sermon on the Mount. And in it, Jesus says, I'm trying to get my eyes to it because I've been looking at a different book, a different Bible version. But in verse 46, we're going to pick up. We're just going to look at 46 through 49. In Luke chapter 46, Jesus says to his disciples as he's teaching them, and he says a similar thing in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew as well, but he says to them in verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. So what Jesus is telling us here is that when we listen to his words and act on them, when we do what he has told us to do, we're like a person who is trying to build a house, and we dig down into the ground to a foundation that's bedrock, and we build on that bedrock. And so what he's telling us is that his teachings, Jesus' teachings, are the foundation for a secure life. That if we listen to what he tells us and we actually do it, it's like digging down to the foundation of the bedrock and building up on that. And when we do that, no matter what comes at us, and the picture that he gives us is this picture of a flood coming in and crashing and attacking us. When the flood hits, the house isn't shaken because it's well built. And so what Jesus is telling us is the same thing for our lives, that when we build our lives on his teachings, Jesus' teaching is the foundation for a secure life. And when we build our lives on him, when we build our lives on his teachings, no matter, now it's not saying nothing bad will come, but when it comes, we won't be shaken. That his teachings are the foundation for us in our lives, how to build our lives, how to go about in our lives. Notice in 48 there, it does have that idea of being burst against. It's not the idea that if we listen to him, our lives will go smoothly, that no trouble will come. We may still face the torrent, but he gives us steadiness in that torrent. The alternative in verse 49 is, but the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. He didn't dig down to the rock, he just built on the sand. This one, the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Notice the focus in both, the person whose house crashes and the person whose house stands sure. Both of them hear. Both of them heard Jesus' word. The difference for them is what they did with it. There's a lot of expert advice going around now, and we all hear it, but we don't necessarily all obey it, right? Some of us, we hear something, we say, oh, I'm going to do everything that person just said. They're a smart, intelligent, scientific person. They wouldn't be telling me this without a good reason. And others of us say, oh, I hear it, but come on, that sounds ridiculous. I don't think I'm going to do all those things. We all hear the same things, but we don't all do the same thing. And the same is true here. Both the difference isn't that some people hear about what Jesus teaches and others don't. The focus here is both groups, both people, heard what Jesus said. One acted on it. One actually did it. The other one did not. So Jesus' focus isn't, he doesn't really care so much, oh, did you hear what I said? That's good. Jesus' focus is on what we do, not what we hear. He doesn't want us just hearing and then walking away and doing our own thing. And so notice several times he says to them in verse 47, I will show you what the person who hears my words and acts on them. I'll show you what he is like. In verse 49, the one who has heard and has not acted. And so Jesus' whole focus in this, as we go back to verse 46, is why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? If we're gonna be his disciples, we will show it not because we heard him and we said, oh, that's nice. We'll be his disciples because we actually live out and do the things he tells us to do. And I think about that a lot with, as I've already said, the different doctors that are out there telling us different guidance. You might even say that when you have two different doctors, two different politicians, and they're arguing different viewpoints. You know, there are some countries like Sweden that never locked everybody down. And there are some places where all the nursing homes got locked down, and there are other places where nursing homes were still open and people could go in and out of them. And all these decisions have had different effects. And we as people, we can say, oh, I'm listening to this person or I'm listening to that person. If we actually live out their instructions, in a way, we become their disciples because we're following their guidance. You know, if I hear that the CDC tells me I need to do something and I don't do it, I'm not a disciple of the CDC. I'm not obeying them. But if I hear the CDC tells me to do something and I say, that sounds good, I'm going to do that. To a certain extent, I make myself their disciple. A little, small d, not a capital D kind of a word. And so what I want to do is as we've been dealing with the lockdowns and the change in our world and our lives recently, starting next week as we go into Luke chapter 12, I want to look at Jesus' teachings from there because I think they really impact what we're going through and what we're living through today. But as we do it, I don't want to just do it as people who say, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's a wonderful word. And then we walk away and we don't do anything with it. Instead, as we listen to Jesus' teaching, I want us to approach it with an attitude of, this is a good foundation. If I do these things, if I follow him, if I believe him, if I really live this out, I will be a person who has built their life on a good foundation. And so my challenge for us next week and the weeks to follow is that we would actually live out these things that Jesus says, even when it's hard to see how it really will work out for us. And that reminds me of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, one of my favorite verses, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That our faith, as we call that we believe in Jesus Christ, if we truly believe in him, we're going to live that out by acting with assurance of the things that we have hope for. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope for our salvation. We have hope for our daily bread, that he will provide for us every day. In a similar way, though, as we look at this word and that word assurance in Hebrews chapter 11. It's a Greek word, hupostasis. And it literally means hupo is under, and stasis or stasis is to stand. It's to stand under or to understand. Understand are the two words that go together. Hupo, under, stand stasis. And it doesn't mean to have understanding like we use it. Oh, I understand what you're saying. It's the idea of this is what I stand under. It is my security. Just like we would maybe even think of we stand on something that is our security, whereas we talk about the rock, but if you have something that covers you, this is what it is. And so it is translated in other places as confidence, as assurance, as we see it here in Hebrews 11, and also substance. Earlier in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says that we have seen Jesus' substance. We know him. That he is, we can stand on him. He is firm. And this idea of assurance has the idea with it of being a foundation. That it is something that we build our lives on. And so when we talk about faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Things that are hoped for, the confidence of things unseen. Hope for unseen things. We have no proof of them in our hands. We have no proof of them right now. There are things that we hope for. There are things that we cannot currently see. But when we have faith in Jesus, those things that we hope for in Jesus, if we have faith, we're going to live as if they're foundational, real. And so when he says, why do you not do the things I tell you? If you call me Lord, Lord, why don't you do what I say? And if you do what I say, I'll tell you what kind of a person you'll be. You'll be the kind of person who's dug down deep into the ground and has a good, strong foundation on the rock. In the same way, in Hebrews, we're told, faith is the assurance. Faith is the foundation of those things hoped for. It is the living out the reality of them. And so when we get Jesus' teachings, if we just say, well, that's nice, that's not faith. If we say, well, that was a really good word, that was neat, I'm glad that Jesus did that. And as we look throughout the chapter 11 of Hebrews with all the men of faith and the women of faith and how they lived their lives, if we read that and we say, well, that's lovely, that's wonderful, that's good stuff, but then we don't follow through with our lives, that's not faith. And so what I really want to encourage us to do as we look at Jesus' teachings is to try to figure out how can we really live these things out? How can we live out his teaching when he tells us not to worry? How can we live out his teaching when he tells us not to worry about what we're going to eat or drink or what people are going to do to us? How do we live that out? Because how we live it out, what we do, is going to be the proof of our faith. If we actually act on what Jesus says, if he says, don't worry about tomorrow, and so we literally don't worry about tomorrow, we're going to be proving that our faith is in him. But if we're saying, well, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow, but I'm making sure tomorrow's taken care of, I'm not saying we just be ignorant of our finances and not worry about things. It's about the worry. Not worrying about it, not being concerned about it because our focus is on him, not us. Yeah, we might have a job and we might be able to make money. We might have retirement, and so we have these things, but we don't trust in them, we trust in him. And when he teaches us and tells us how we should treat other people, do we actually live that out? Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? How we act, whether we actually do what he says, will show whether or not we're truly his disciples. And as Jesus says several times, that if we continue in his teachings, if we continue in his word, we are truly his disciples. And so that's going to be the challenge over the next few weeks, is to look at some really hard things that Jesus says, and then to try to figure out if we can actually live based on them. And try to do them. Because we don't want to be people who listen to Jesus and say, wow, that was really good. But then don't actually do what he told us to do. We want to be people who listen to Jesus, hear his word, and then act on it. And follow through with it. Even if it doesn't look like it's going to be that way today because we trust in Him, because He is the one we've placed our hope into, because He's the one we have faith in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the fact that You have created us, that we have in Jesus Christ not just hope for eternity, but hope for today, hope for tomorrow. We thank You, Father, that You have made Him known to us and that You have taught us through Your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, today and tomorrow and as we go through Luke chapter 12 in the next few weeks, that You would help us to not just be hearers of the Word, but doers as well. That we would live out our faith, that You have told us to trust in You. So we pray, Father, today that we would trust in You. As we have worries about the future, as we have worries about what tomorrow will bring, Lord, help us to hand them over to You and to trust You. Father, as we have our own private, personal study in Your Word, and we read things that challenge us, we pray, Lord, that our prayer to You would be, Lord, help us to live this out. Help me to live this out. Help me to apply this to my life today, that I would not just hear what You've said, but that I would do it, because I want to build my life on the rock of Jesus Christ. I want that foundation, that assurance lived out in faith. We pray this, Father, today in Jesus' name. Amen.